Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from our frigid animal compound in Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, the animal guy, and this is Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Hello to our listeners from around the world and across North America. Anticipating a great show tonight because after the hour, Vegas with Randolph joins us, and we're going to hear some tidbits from their brand new CD, so we're very excited about that. Behind the controls of this radio missile, our technical engineer and studio producer, Billy Willard, is here with us tonight all the way from Virginia. And as always, later on in the program, we'll be sharing our airspace with our Teacher of the Year, Amy Swihart. And from the Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, distinguished, and usually regular, and we've heard recently injured, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson. Hey, you know, every week when we do the show, we get that great intro.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know who that voice is. That's a good friend of ours, Bill Shirk.
That's right.
The world-renowned escape artist.
Oh, yeah. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records, a broadcasting historic symbol here in Indiana. He's been part of radio. He used to do all those drag racing commercials you'd hear on the radio. Sunday, you know. And so.
Yep. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
That's right. So, yeah, thank you for that. He's probably anytime he can get his ego patted, he likes that. So
that's right. Well, you know, a lot of people don't know that. That's Bill Shirk.
Yeah, that is Bill Shirk, and we appreciate his efforts. And also, I have a big apology for last week when we had Izzy Chait on, that we were giving Izzy all these accolades for being a veteran, and our own Dr. Henry Day is a veteran, and we thank you for your service, Dr. Day, and my apologies for not bringing that up.
Oh, well, you're quite welcome, but the show wasn't about me last week.
That's true. No, it wasn't. It was all Izzy. And I would like to announce now that I received in the Blog Talk Radio News Studios today via the UPS the holiday CDs from Izzy Chait.
Cool.
And it's called Holiday Nights. And Izzy is going to be joining us next month as we have a special show, Christmas with Izzy. So it should be a lot of fun. So we're looking forward to that. And we're going to be sending off those. And, of course, all the members of our staff will be getting copies of Izzy's new Christmas CD. I promise I'll send those out. Holiday Nights with Izzy Chait. I also need to remind everyone that the Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Expo, they've got this wonderful site, and they've got this great video of the conference that occurred in April 26th, 27th, and 28th. Video on demand. It's only $4.99 for 6 hours of video from the conference. Very well put together by our friend Peter Weimer, and go to their website, ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. Also remind everyone to check out our website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do. Also our wildlife education programs and lots of ways you can help our animal family. And they all make it possible for us to be on for this Thursday for an hour and a half on Blog Talk Radio.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for November the 14th. Yes, we're already 2 weeks into November.
Hard to believe.
Yes, it is. Well, our first story tonight takes us to the Windy City. Now, after tracking down a small alligator scurrying around in a baggage claim area at the O'Hare International Airport. Yes. Authorities are now hunting for its traveling companion.
Oh, my.
The Chicago Transit Authority has released a series of images showing a woman who they believe rode to the airport on a CTA Blue Line train with the 2-foot-long alligator on November 1st.
My, my, my.
Yeah.
And we'll probably end up with it before it's all said and done.
I just imagine that she walked out of the house, thought it was one of her purses, and when she got to the airport.
Well, that sounds like a good alibi. They'd probably buy that in Virginia.
Now,
that was the laughter of Bill.
Now, why do you take an alligator to the airport with you and then leave it there?
Well, usually when I have an alligator at the airport with me, it's to go somewhere and do a program. But I would never think of leaving it there. Gosh, that's just cruel.
That is cruel.
I'm training a new alligator, Dr. Day, as we speak.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. He's in the bathtub right now. He's learning. He's being a part of our show this year, and I've named him Uncle Cy or Silas after our good friend from Duck Dynasty.
Yes.
They look a lot alike. I think that's why I came up with the name. But old Silas, he's in the bathtub as we speak, just
well,
a few feet from where we're at right
now. I'm glad you got another one going since Baxter has retired.
Well, yeah, he's about 9 feet long. Now he just wants to try and kill me, so wouldn't work well for school programs.
Yeah, Baxter is quite thick, too.
he's a pretty nice guy. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, in front of his face, you wouldn't say.
No, I would not.
All right, let's head off to Portland, Oregon. Now, the discovery of a threatened bird in the Elliott Slate Forest in Coos County has dramatically lowered the value of 3 tracts where logging is now in doubt.
Oh.
Yes, the Oregonian stated that appraisals have dropped from $22 million to less than $4 million after a marbled murrelet was spotted last summer. Now, I've tried to find a picture of this marbled murrelet, but have not been able to find one yet.
Oh, you don't have a computer there at the studios, do you?
Well, not where I'm working right now, because it's the sound studio.
Because we could probably run, if we were a TV show, we could probably come up with that pretty quick.
But, I have not found a picture yet.
So they're going to not let them log there?
That's right.
Wow.
For this little bird.
Between them and the spotted owl,
That's amazing.
That's amazing, I'm telling you.
All right, Miami, Florida. A sea turtle is being treated for a life-threatening gash to its shell after apparently being struck by a boat in South Florida. Now, the 250-pound turtle has a severe gash running the length of its shell.
Ow!
Yeah.
My goodness. Sounds painful. So is he going to be all right?
Hopefully. They've got some specialists working with him. And we'll hear some more news for next week's show and let the public know how it's doing because that's a major injury.
Yeah, keep your staff. And you know what's the only positive thing about it is you know how healing the ocean water is.
That's
so
right.
Salt does heal things very quickly.
Yep.
So that was one good thing.
Time heals all wounds.
Oh, you're so poetic.
We
got it. We got the point.
All right, now listen to this. Long Beach, Washington. The bear that bit a woman and killed her dog remains on the loose, ignoring Fish and Wildlife Department traps, baited with donuts and beer.
Run, bear, run.
Yes, now they have caught a lot of the locals. And also Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
Donuts and beer.
You know a little Homer, don't you, Dr. Day?
Yeah, I'd kill everybody in this place for one frosty taste of cool beer. Now, one of my favorite Homer Simpson sayings is, "Stupid gravity." All right, well,
no, your doctor. They would
we've got a chupacabra in Port Lavaca, Texas.
Oh, really?
Kind of a gruesome story. More than $7,000 has been offered for tips leading to the arrest after more than 20 sheep were stolen or mutilated and slain at a farm there.
Really? Slayed?
Slain, yes.
Oh.
Mutilated and slain.
Oh, my.
And some were stolen, so...
How did the chupacabra stole all those sheep, I wonder?
Well, I don't know, but usually when something like that happens in Texas, it's a chupacabra.
I'm sure it is.
Now, you know, they have a lot of strange beliefs there through Texas and Mexico, and I was told, I've told this story before, but I had a neighbor. I was taking some rattlesnakes out of my trunk, and he told me, "Hey, let me tell you about those rattlesnakes." And this is, his name was Joaquin Tapia, about 70 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Those rattlesnakes, when they go to get a drink of water, they take their rattles off and they hide them because they can't get them wet. If they get them wet, they'll die. So they take the rattles off, they go get a drink of water, and then they come back and put their rattles on."
Oh, really?
Yes. Now, this is a person who's lived in the desert all of his life and could believe that a rattlesnake could take its rattle off.
And he spent a lot of time in the blazing sun.
But I was also told that coyotes are able to hypnotize people to make them fall asleep so that they can come in and steal their wildlife.
Oh, really? Well, I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know it either.
Hmm. That's
a lot of strange beliefs, but hopefully the $7,000 offered for the tips will help them solve this problem.
That sounds like some information I'd give during one of my wildlife programs. Just kidding.
All right, now we're off to one of my favorite places, Carlsbad, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Been there many times. Love it, love it. All right. The bad news is there will be no ringing in of the new year at Carlsbad Caverns National Park this year because officials have announced the popular tourist destination will be closed New Year's Day because of budget cuts. The caverns will also be closed on Thanksgiving and Christmas this year. And historically, the Southern New Mexico Park was only closed on Christmas Day.
That's just not right.
Well, you know, I guess the bats kind of need a break, too, after looking at tourists all year long.
Well, that's true.
Quite a spectacular place. Every night during the summer, some 650,000 bats leave the cave, and the cave's opening is actually right on top of the ground, so you kind of look down. You can bend over and look down into the cave and have the bats brush by your face as they fly out.
You know, I don't have a problem with bats at all. I find them quite fascinating, and that wouldn't bother me. But, of course, that cave, they're just like rooms. I didn't like these little caves that you have to barely squeeze through. And something about that is just so disconcerting. Maybe it's the, I don't know. I have not a clue.
It's a spectacular sight.
I'll bet it is.
The bats continue out of the cave for anywhere from a half hour to 45 minutes, continuous flow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be cool to see. I would agree. And my wife, no. She would, no.
All right. Well, I think that we could have done this job a little bit cheaper. Lake Alfred, Florida. Officials want to evict some 40 turkey vultures that have been nesting on the city's water tower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now last week the city commission accepted a $20,000 bid from Terminix to encourage the vultures to move to another location.
Where's it at now? I'm sorry.
Lake Alfred, Florida.
Oh. Hmm. I wonder what method. $20,000. Wonder what method they're going to use.
I don't know. The first thing I would do is I would buy about $10 worth of helium balloons, and I'd turn them loose by the water tower.
Oh, you know what I'd do? I'd go buy about 100 pounds of hamburger and leave it about 200 yards from the water tower, and they'd all go to that. Then I'd collect my money and go home.
Yeah. Or just move it down the street a little bit.
I'd just move them to a different one. It's like those... Oh, what were those pesky beetles that have been such a problem for us for years?
Oh, the ash borers.
No, the other one. And darn it, I can't think of it. It's right on the tip of my tongue. And gosh almighty. And they have little traps that you can put out to attract them.
Japanese beetles?
Japanese beetles. Thank you. Gosh, we had to get the information from Virginia. So what you did was you talked your neighbor into putting up one of those traps, and all the beetles would be at his house.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, Japanese beetles. Thank you.
Yes, they sure are beautiful bugs, but, oh, man, they're a lot of trouble.
A baboon likes to eat them, especially the larva.
No, I just can't imagine that would taste very good.
It does to a baboon.
The larva are probably better, but, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
All right, it's so old, it's new. Salt Lake City, Utah. Paleontologist unveiled a new dinosaur discovered 4 years ago in the southern Utah desert that proves giant tyrant dinosaurs such as the Tyrannosaurus Rex were around 10 million years earlier than previously believed.
Really? Well, that's cool.
Yeah, 10 million years.
Wow.
That's not like, oh, well, we were off, you know, 150 years or something.
Yeah. No. No, we were off 10 million.
That's right, yeah, 10 million years.
Well, that's, gosh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. All right, we need a little help from our listeners in Rhode Island.
Oh, well, we have
South
several.
South Kingstown. Rhode Island could soon have 80 homeless parrots if a rescue shelter for the birds is forced to close. Now, Steve Lazicki has until December 30th to find a new location for the shelters that he's operated for nearly 20 years. So Steve's trying to help out the birds. He's losing his location, so we needed some of our listeners to help him out there.
I'll hang on to that name and so forth, and we'll just get him on the show here in the next couple of weeks. How about that?
How about that? Yeah, let's find out what's going so we can
help him save
these birds.
We'll have him on the first hour for a few moments and find out what's going on and how we can help.
That's a great idea.
You know what we'll probably have to do, though, being he's around those parrots all the time and stuff, you know, they're rather loud. We'll probably have to scream. He's probably almost deaf. So we'll have to scream at him.
Yes, I would imagine.
Oh, I've got an interesting parrot story. You know, I have three macaws, two blue and golds, and one green-winged macaw.
Yep.
And in the springtime, when we open all the buildings up and it starts to warm up, we put the tortoises outside. Well, for some reason, this one blue and gold macaw, which I've had for years and years, it had just turned darn right ornery. And it was ornery all summer long. Every time I'd try and work with him, he'd try and bite me to the bone. I mean, he was just not, I couldn't figure it out. So this fall, when the weather starts to cool off, we bring our African tortoises inside because they can't stand winter weather, and they've been eating grass in our compound all. And as soon as we put those tortoises back in that building, the parrots come back down. So I thought, what in the world? So I took him away for a day and then put him, and he got angry again, and when I put him back in, he turned nice again. I mean, the parrots love the tortoises.
Interesting. Well, I guess they are distant cousins.
they're distant cousins?
Well, yeah.
You only mean birds and reptiles.
Yeah.
You're right. For 10 million years.
Yeah.
Okay. That wasn't that interesting of a story after all. I'm sorry.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, I just kind of threw this one in because instant karma is going to get you. Denver, Colorado. Buddhists said they are not angry after vandals targeted a meditation center. The vandals stowed one of two 60-pound lion statues, which have been on the building for generations.
Oh.
Now, even though the Buddhists aren't angry, I don't think I'd want a Buddhist upset with me.
No, that's not very good karma.
No, that's your best bet is to take the statue back.
Yeah, what are you going to do, sell it on Craigslist? Or?
Yeah, I don't know, but no, get rid of that line, take it back right now before strange things start happening to
Maybe they're listening tonight, and they'll take our advice.
You know, hopefully.
Yeah.
All right, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Police got some unlikely help in stopping a fleeing vehicle. Yes, Friday night chase near Cedar Rapids ended when the vehicle hit a deer and rolled into a ditch.
Oh, my.
Yes, Officer Buck was doing his job. He stopped that vehicle, and we're not sure if he's all right or not, but well, thank you, Officer Buck.
Yes.
Truckee, California, Department of Fish and Wildlife biologists are conducting a DNA test to determine if a rare Sierra Nevada red fox has been spotted at Donner Lake there. Now, there have been fewer than 50 of the native foxes found in existence there.
Oh.
Yeah, so they're hoping the park, which is National Park in Sonora Pass, they're hoping that the DNA test proved to be true and that they do have a Sierra Nevada red fox there.
Oh, that'd be
and
great.
And that's a comedian.
Yes. Yeah, right. Well, he's dead anyway.
All right. Well, you ready for some local news?
Yes.
All right. Now, did you happen to see the big spread on Jenny DeVoe in this weekend's paper?
No.
Well, our good friend Jenny DeVoe, I guess she doesn't have any more concerts at this time of the year. So it might be a good time to call her back and have her on the show.
Oh, good.
Find out what she's got in store for next year.
She's got a new CD.
That's right.
Yeah.
Called Radiator, is that right?
I think it is called Radiator. Yeah, she's got a brand new CD. We will have her on the show.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, now, Vincennes, Indiana. The comedian Gallagher will help ring in the new year by dropping watermelons. Yes, the comedian who was known for smashing watermelons with a sledgehammer seems a good fit for the city's annual watermelon spectacular, which dozens of watermelons are dropped 100 feet onto a splatform with elevated steel and foam melon.
Oh.
So, yeah, Gallagher's going to stand on top of this thing and drop melons to ring in the new year.
I wonder if it'll be the real Gallagher or his imitation brother.
It says the comedian Gallagher, so I guess we'll have to see.
Okay.
But watermelon smashing in Vincennes.
Yeah.
That's
how
that's
can
what
you
our local
that?
News is like here.
That,
all right, are
better.
You ready for the Wild World facts of the day?
I'm sitting down.
All right, based on the premise that there's no roach like a dead roach, the Cockroach Hall of Fame Museum exhibits the dead bugs dressed in costumes and posed in mini dioramas. Yes, Marilyn Monroach and Ross Perroach are two of the museum's biggest crowd pleasers.
Oh, God, the cockroach.
Yeah, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
All right, now scientists at the University of Illinois are looking for ways to freshen the air around pig farms.
Oh, there you go, Febreze.
Now, they're trying to decide whether feeding them different types of food would improve the atmosphere. And to find out, they paid people to sniff the results. Yeah. When people say their jobs stink, they're not kidding. No.
Why do you think they call them?
Yeah, they pay them to sniff pig poo.
Why do you think they call them pigs? I mean...
Well, let's see if feeding them pizza will have any... All right, it's a dog's life. Professional food taster Irwin Rose of Hayes, England, taste tests cat and dog foods for a living.
You can have that job.
Yeah. All right, we've got the Leonid meteor showers this weekend. Sunday night, probably be the best night to look. Pre-dawn and face south.
Oh,
but we're
okay.
Also going to have a full moon, which is going to hamper the viewing just a little bit.
Darn.
And we always warn our listeners that there are more animal attacks on a full moon than any other time of the month.
I'll remember that.
That's right. Well, that's the Wild World News for November 14th.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. We're so proud. Newly renovated, now HD. Dr. Day always does a masterful job with the Wild World News and keeping us up to date. One fact that we did not relate during the Wild World News is the sad news that the western black rhino is now officially extinct from the wild. So that information has just come back within the last couple of weeks. So that's just too darn bad. Also, want to remind everyone, go to my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. It has our brand new book, Alphabet Swamp. It's time to order it now. Get it autographed to your favorite niece or nephew for yourself. A great stocking stuffer at LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. They all make it possible for us to be here every Thursday on Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Oh, it's that time. Our teacher of
did you hear me singing?
Amy Swihart. We did hear you sing.
Did you really?
Absolutely.
Oh, you know what? I sing all the time anyway. What does it matter?
It doesn't matter.
I was doing the treadmill earlier tonight, though, and I was singing at the top of my lungs, and it's really hard to do the treadmill and sing at the same time.
Well, it's probably great for one's cardiac.
Yeah. All right.
Heart. I was going to say something else, but I just shut up.
Yeah, no, it's all that heavy breathing and singing don't go so well. Maybe that's why people don't sing while they're doing other things. Maybe.
That's right.
Yeah. Heavy breathing.
So how are things in Warsaw, Indiana?
Oh, they're just lovely.
We
had our first snow not too long ago, a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when first graders see a snowflake,
yeah,
you may as well just hang it up because they think a blizzard's coming. So, it's hard. You lose their attention. But anymore, like, we have a new building, so our windows are kind of small because gone are the days when you can have big, giant windows and, we're all kind of locked in here. But usually they can't see out very well, so it takes a little while before they even discover a flake. But, yeah, they get pretty excited. And then the next day, never fails, the next day they come to school, they bring all of their snow gear. I mean, all of it. There could be next to nothing on the ground, and we have snow pants, snow boots, gloves, hats, scarves, earmuffs. We've got all the complete gear. And they get 30 minutes of recess, and it takes them about 20 to put all that on. So, I'm like, boys and girls, you really don't need that yet. Well, yes, it's kind of cold out there. I'm like,
you don't
understand. You're losing all of your recess putting this on. And I don't even tell them. If their boots are on the wrong feet, I don't even tell them. Because that's another 5 minutes. I'm like, you know what? I'm sure I wore my boots on the wrong feet, and it didn't hurt me. So get outside and play. But,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so we just have that season to look forward to. It's like you got to get them ready to go out to recess about 20 minutes before it's time. But oh well, that's how it goes.
Well, you would think up north that they would be a little bit better prepared, but I guess that's not true, is it?
Well, no, I don't know. I remember being a kid and you get all excited to wear all that new snow gear.
And
you see a couple flakes and you think it's almost time to go sledding, but
that's
now
true.
I know as an adult, it's just not worth all that trouble, I don't even really wear a coat until it gets to be 0 degrees. I just run from one place to the next.
Kids don't really get cold anyway, so.
No, they come in, they're all hot and sweaty. Like, well, you dress like a a freaking Eskimo, for pity's sakes.
When I was in elementary school
a few
years ago.
You walked to school both ways uphill without any boots, right?
That's true. I walked 2 miles to school through heavy snowfall. And yes, both ways, back and forth, boom, boom. Bus, those were for the babies. Who needs a bus ride?
You know, we're making these kids nowadays, I mean, seriously, we don't let them go out if it gets too cold. I mean, the definition of too cold has changed. When I was a kid, it could be, school could be canceled, ice could be all over the trees, limbs falling from the heavy ice, mm-hmm. and my mother would be like, get out, go play in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she's like, no one cared. And
nope.
You know what? When you start to turn numb, you come back in and you warm up, and then you go back out again.
Yep.
And now, you know, it's we can't, our kids at school cannot go out if the wind chill is 20 or below. Well, just yesterday the sun was shining, it was 32 degrees, and the wind chill was 18. Sorry, boys and girls, you have inside recess today. Like, really? Really? But anyway, I don't mean to be a complainer.
I know that.
I never complain.
No, you don't.
No, never, never. Hey, so you want to hear some goofy things from the week,
yes,
right?
Yes, we do.
Because, you know. Well, I'm declaring this week National Tattletale Week. Well, actually, we have a lot of those, but this week has been really, really bad. And we have, you know, what the biggest tattles are bathroom issues. And
are what?
Bathroom issues.
Oh, okay.
They all go to the bathroom. There's five rows. I send them a row at a time. They come back from the restroom, and I get all these reports of, oh, Billy was peeking through the cracks and watching me as I was going potty, you know, or he's trying to peek at my privates. Oh, we've had like three conversations this week about how it is inappropriate to watch somebody else go to the restroom. That is private business. And who would want to watch that anyway? But
hey, first graders.
First graders, you're right.
Dr. Henry Day.
Dr. Day, Billy, I'm sure. It does tend to be a problem more with the boys' restroom than the girls. Just saying.
Well, yeah, well. So,
and they just tattle. They say things, too, like they come up to me and they'll go, Mrs. Swire, he called me the S word. And in my early days of teaching,
yeah.
I was really alarmed. And now I'm like, would you whisper the S word to me? And, you know, you're really thinking it's the worst.
Yeah.
And then he called me stupid.
Oh.
The S word. He said the F word. Please tell me what that is. Whisper in my ear. He said fart. Oh, that's a bad one. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I know. If only life were that simple, you know? It's true.
I believe it.
That was the only thing that ever happened. I mean, what a simple, simple life.
But absolutely.
And some kid came up to me the other day, and I put this on Facebook. Somebody, you probably already read it. Someone walks up to me and said, really serious. Really, really serious.
Yeah.
Just my heart. Do people still put tacks on teachers' chairs? What?
No one ever
put tacks on teachers' chairs. No way.
We used to do that to fellow classmates every once in a while. But
that's mean.
Oh, it's painful, too.
Yep.
Yeah. I said, no, boys and girls, no. Boys, we don't know one does that. You know, I'm checking my chair all the time, I hope you know.
Oh, most definitely, because once you put the idea out there, some kid's going to decide to.
I hardly ever get to sit in my chair anyway because I'm so busy. And more than anything else, I'm watching the cracks of the stall doors. Yeah.
We always
and today,
have,
too. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No,
you know,
please.
You can set me up. What?
Please go ahead.
Oh, you know, you just have to tell me to stop. because I'll just go on and on.
I know.
Stop. So today, too, we were reading this story. There's a new series of books out called The Weird School or something like that. And of course, I read the first one. It was called Miss Daisy is Crazy. The kids loved it, so I decided to read the second one, which is Mr. Klutz is Nuts. Well, anytime you say nuts in a classroom, they have other thoughts. What is this world coming to? But anyway, Mr. Klutz was the principal, and he had to take over for the teacher, Miss Daisy, because she had a dentist appointment, which, that never happens, let me tell you. And so Mr. Klutz was the substitute, and he went in, and he decided to teach these second graders about the law of physics and how everything falls at the same rate.
Yeah.
Well, I was not to be shown up by Mr. Klutz. So I happened to have a pumpkin in my classroom still. And by the way, I was wearing high-heeled boots today.
Yeah.
And I hop up on the table with my Snoopy stuffed animal and a pumpkin.
Yeah.
And I said, boys and girls, law of physics, everything drops at the same rate. Let's see how this goes. And I held them both up. And I was hoping like heck that the pumpkin did not like splat all over.
Yeah.
But if it did, it's school, and better to make a mess at school than home, right?
Right.
So I told all the kids, I'm like, take cover, and they all ran and got under their desks. You would have thought it was like an earthquake drill, because we have those. They all get underneath their desks. And, of course, my door's open in my classroom. It always is. And, of course, there's kids congregating in the hallway staring at me, and I'm like, Lord, please let this be okay.
Yeah.
And I dropped them on the count of three, and the pumpkin and Snoopy hit at the same time. And the pumpkin did not break. It bounced and it cracked.
Well, who would have thought?
And I taught them all some physics today.
My Lord.
I know.
And they say the education system's going to the dog. That's
not
so
this
wrong.
Room.
Not in Warsaw. Not in Swihart's class.
We can't speak for all of Warsaw, but we can speak for my room. Not in this room, I'm telling you.
Well, I'm going to speak for Blog Talk Radio. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. And don't forget, after the hour, Vegas with Randolph. It's going to be fun.
I can't wait.
Yeah, we can't either. You're listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Vatsen's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
We're Rascal Flats. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
We'll be back in just moments with our Teacher of the Year, Amy Swihart, and of course the Honorable Distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana. I want to remind everyone that this half of the program is brought to you by McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, and as we all know, they had a tough time of it. Over 20 inches of rain one night, it literally devastated that part of the country. The Front Range, Estes Park, our good friend Igloo Ed, who lives in Lyons, Colorado, has been trying to put his home back together. But please, if you've never been to that part of the country in your life, you owe it to yourself. Visit the Rockies, Rocky Mountain National Park, and the place to stay is McGregor Mountain Lodge. Beautiful cabins and lodges. It's absolutely fantastic. A great view from your porch of any cabin that's rented there. You have wildlife in your backyard. I've been there in the past. We've had mule deer in the front yard, bighorn sheep in the back part of our property there, and it's absolutely wonderful. Go to the website, McGregorMountainLodge.com. Michael Hodges is the proprietor, and it's not too late to try and go now, because even with the snow, it's incredible. They'll have a big snowfall, and they'll get those roads cleared, and you can navigate all over everywhere. You can't get into the high country, per se, but you're still at about 7,500-foot altitude at Estes Park, so it's pretty impressive. So that's right, McGregorMountainLodge.com. We appreciate them being an underwriter. Once again, a big thank you to Chautauqua Lake Bigfoot Weekend and Expo, and their video on demand is available for $4.99 at ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. If you're interested in the Finding Bigfoot programs or all the Discovery Channel programs they've done on the subject, 6 hours of video with Bob Gimlin, yours truly, Billy Willard, Melissa Hovey, and Steve Calls. It's absolutely fantastic. It's video on demand at ChautauquaLakeBigfoot.com. We're, as always, as part of the program, speaking with our Teacher of the Year on our program, Amy Swihart.
Who's that?
That's you.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I need to educate you some, so.
Well, please do.
Okay. Yeah. Let me just do a quick review.
All right.
See if you remember something. Do you remember? Because I told you I was going to ask you.
I know that, and I thought about that the other day. I was talking with my wife, Cheryl, in the car. And I said, she's going to come up with these questions, and, well, we'll see how we do.
Well, you know, the thing is, right now, we're doing a book study here, and it's called Teach Like a Champion. And one of the things they say is there's no opting out, and you need to question again. And if someone gets their answer wrong, you re-question them until they get it right. So with that, I remember bombed it.
Big trouble.
You bombed this last week, so let's see if you learned after I helped you last week. What is a group of hippos called?
Oh, I knew it was
bloat. A bloat.
And a group of rhinos?
That's the one I couldn't come up with. I racked my brain the other day.
Oh, geez.
Come on, Dr. Day. You can do it. You can do it.
I'm working on it.
Think. Start with the letter A and go through the alphabet.
It was like a car something. Remember I said it was like a
trailer?
Car? Oh, geez. No, it's a crash. A crash, like a car.
That's hard to even come up with a way to remember that.
Okay, well, you know what? The bottom line is, remember it, okay?
rhinos crash into things.
Just put it in that spot for safekeeping. Okay, well, here's some more for you. I was looking up some other groups. Do you know what a group of this one's kind of goofy because I was sharing it with the kids.
Yeah.
And they go, Mrs. Swihart, are those things even real? Well, you know, well, you don't even need to debate that. I don't think so. But what is a group of unicorns called?
Oh, my.
If you run into one of those, you probably ought to know what the group's called.
Well, you should. I don't have a clue.
No one would have a clue. Who in the world makes up names for groups of things that don't even exist?
Units?
They're called blessings. Blessings.
Oh, well, I guess it would be a blessing, because if you had a group of unicorns in your yard, you could charge money.
I'm pretty sure there would be a rainbow in the background, too.
You could get a dollar a person to come and look at them. That would be a blessing.
Hey, a group of hummingbirds? A group of hummingbirds is called, there's actually a few things for it, but the one that we chose here at school, we thought it was the most fun, was a charm. A group of hummingbirds is called a charm.
Oh, well, our place here is charming in the summer because we have a gazillion of them.
Yeah.
Flying
ice pits. Well, yeah. What's a group of owls called?
Group of owls. Well, now that's a problem because owls never congregate in groups.
You're
so
right.
How did they come up with that?
I don't know, but listen, it's called a parliament. A parliament.
A parliament, that's right.
Parliament.
Yeah, there you go. A little slow, Dr. Day. Didn't help.
Well, he's slow anyway.
And this one sounds really stupid to me. What is a group of rabbits?
Rabbis.
No.
Rabbits.
No, listen, it's a herd. Doesn't that sound stupid?
A herd?
A herd. Wait, I'm saying the S word, stupid. Yes, a herd. It's a herd. Say, oh, there's a you've either got a herd of buffalo or a herd of rabbits.
You know, and I can say in the 62 years I've been on this planet, I've never seen a herd of rabbits.
I know.
I've heard rabbits.
I've heard rabbits getting killed in the woods. Let me tell you,
I know, it's terrible.
Pleasant sound. You know what? A couple weeks ago, we talked about that dangly thing that hangs off of a moose. I'm changing the subject, by the way.
Yeah.
What was that thing called? Oh, see if you can recall that one.
Oh, my gosh. Dr. Day, please. I'm supposed to be the animal
guy. Let me help
guy.
You. People, see, the Salvation Army rings these, you know,
bells,
Christmas.
Bells. It's
bell. Remember, they're the bells. Okay, so I was reading. I didn't share this with the first graders because this is not appropriate. But something about a moose. Moose? What do you? It's not meese when there's a whole bunch, but
mooses.
Mooses. Mooses. Moose. Their vision is so poor that they are oftentimes seen trying to mate with cars.
That is true. I have a picture of a moose trying to mate with a wooden buffalo.
Yeah, but that's a little different than a car. You see a moose mating with a beetle? A moose and a Cadillac getting together.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
I imagine with these new gas, you know, it'd be rather difficult with the little nozzles they leave you to fill up your vehicle with now.
Oh God!
You know what I'm trying to say? So you don't accidentally put diesel in your unleaded running vehicle.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Here, while we're on the subject of mating, I cannot believe this one. Some lions will mate 50 times a day.
They will.
Oh, my gosh. They must be exhausted.
Oh, well, they don't do anything most of the time. They sleep 23 hours of a day, every day.
And then the last hour, they're mating 50 times?
Yeah, sometimes. If it's a party. but they absolutely will.
They've
incredible.
Got some like major stamina going on there.
They do. It's been documented, and that is absolutely true.
Oh, so while we're on this subject, I may as well just continue on this subject.
Oh no.
Okay, we talked a couple weeks ago about how there were some lizards that had two, you know, male lizards that had two private parts. I'm gonna try and keep it clean.
Yes.
Yes. Do you know which specifically? Did I tell you that? What those lizards were? Which lizards? In case you went into one.
I'm not. I don't think so. I think I would remember.
Discuss
that.
The breed. No.
No. The iguana and the Komodo dragon.
Oh, well, I was going to say Komodo dragon. Don't ask me why.
Yeah. Well, because they're just, you know, extra special, so they may as well have two of those things.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr.
Get close enough to one to find out.
I know, it's like...
Well, you know what else has two of them?
What?
Koala bears. Koala bears.
They got two doogies?
Yes!
Oh, my gosh.
What do you do with two of them? I don't even want to know. Remember, though, it's kind of handy, I guess, if you're in the wild, because if one gets bit off, you got another one.
Well, that's so true. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yes.
You're, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to get off that subject. I do have something else I want to talk about, because I thought it was interesting.
Okay.
Cows.
Cows. Oh.
You know, we have a lot of those around here.
Yes, we do.
Did you know? This is crazy. We laughed so hard over this today when the kids were sitting on the red carpet here in my classroom and I was sharing, we were talking about facts and things to share with you.
Yes.
And, of course, you know, some of them we don't talk about, like the ones we just mentioned. But
right.
The cow ones, this was so funny. Cows from different areas have different moo accents. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, seriously? So we decided in my classroom that the British cow must be the funniest. Moo. They go around the pasture going, moo.
I was
moo.
Just thinking, I was wondering how the cows from Virginia would moo.
There we do it.
Moo.
Like moo.
Ain't nothing as funny as the British one. Moo.
The Vegas and Randolph boys are probably wondering, this is a wacky conversation tonight. Welcome,
yes,
gentlemen.
Hey, are you there?
Hey.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
hello.
Oh, wait, I hear him.
Yeah, I'm on.
Oh, good.
John.
Who do
Which
we have
are
tonight?
You, John?
I'm John.
Oh, John. Who else? Do we have any more?
I'm the human animal.
Well, John, are you a lion?
My heart is.
Well,
did you hear what I was saying? You don't
relate
even
to
know
lion
what I was
information once again, Mrs. Swihart, our first grade teacher.
Lions can mate up to 50 times a day. So let me ask you that again, John. Are you a lion?
Not anymore.
Are you lying? Or are you telling the truth?
Oh, God.
Hey, John, you know what? Even if you're half of a lion, that's pretty darn amazing.
Yeah, I've got a pride of one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
a lot of time left enough.
Do we have any other was somebody else joining us?
No, I think Eric was calling in.
Oh, good. Well,
all right.
We'll
should
be
up soon.
The more we can get, the better.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Because we have made Amy Swihart into a fan of Vegas with Randolph. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I've been listening all day. I sure have. And I'll tell you what my favorites are in a bit.
All right.
Yeah. We will get to that.
We just finished a band practice, so.
I saw that.
We had to knock off at 10, and then so now we're zooming around and getting on the phone.
Oh, that's our style there.
You quit early just for us?
No, we quit early because of noise.
Oh.
One of our buddies, we play at his house, and we just play up till 10, and we cut it off.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, you know, all good things have to come to an end, I suppose.
Yeah. So what else do the first graders have this week
Let me just share the other cow facts, and then I will call it quits for the – but okay, here's another cow fact. Did you know that it takes about 3,000 cows to provide the footballs for one NFL season?
3,000?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Suddenly I feel really bad for cows. That's a lot.
You know, my wife, Cheryl, God bless her, she doesn't eat hamburgers because she likes cows too much, and now she won't let me watch football again.
Yeah, I mean, I was just really surprised. That's a lot of cows. Of course, you know, they're probably already killing them for the meat, so they're just, you know, taking the hide, doing something with it, I guess. But at least
yeah.
I'm going to think it that way. Here's another one, and this is one of those things where who in the world studies this stuff? Okay, we know that cows can sleep standing up.
Yes.
Cows can only dream when they are laying down. So what do? As a scientist, do you say when a cow wakes up, did you have a dream?
Yeah.
And if the cow says, well, yes, I did dream, were you standing or were you laying? What do you do? How do they know that?
Sounds like utter nonsense.
It sounds like
it
something that would come from the Wild World.
Utterly nonsense.
What it sounds like. You can tell.
We probably paid somebody to study that.
Oh, yeah, of course, millions.
You
can tell if it's a great fishing day. If the cows are laying down, you shouldn't go fishing that day.
Yeah. But they're dreaming, doggone it.
But they're dreaming.
They're dreaming.
They're probably dreaming that everybody's going to eat chicken and fish.
Yeah. Ooh, that reminds me, chickens. Ooh. You said chickens. Did you know what the world record is for the longest chicken flight?
No.
I think I might have told you this before. Because I have chickens, you know. 13 seconds. Bam. Right there.
13 seconds.
Yep.
Oh, I bet Aiden's had his chicken fly longer than that.
Aiden says that he's pretty sure Pee-wee, our one chicken, can fly longer than 13 seconds.
We need to get that documented.
Yeah.
Are these domestic chickens, not like prairie chickens? Or?
Well, I don't know. How would
barbecue
I know?
Barbecue chickens.
Yeah. Fricasseed.
Yeah. But that was kind of amazing to the first graders, 13 seconds, you know. Of course, you don't know how long 13 seconds is, so I tell them to be quiet, and I set the timer, and then I tell them stop at 13 seconds so they know.
Yeah, what can we do? Well, once again, what a great contribution by the first graders of Mrs. Amy Swihart's class in beautiful scenic Warsaw, Indiana. We always enjoy our visits each week. Once again, what a wonderful job those youngsters do. Are they anxious about Thanksgiving?
They are. Yes, they are. We've been singing, you know, we got, hello, Mr. Turkey, how are you? Hello, Mr. Turkey, how are you? We got all our songs, you know, Albuquerque, he's the turkey. So, yeah, there's all kinds of songs we sing in jingles. Yeah.
You might. Who knows, Vegas with Randolph may want to expand their playlist a little bit.
They're going to want me for sure, let me tell you.
Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day. Wonderful hour so far, Dr. Day.
Yes, and it's going to get better.
It's going to even get better. Of course, our masterful technical engineer, Billy Willard. Next week, another great show, and we hope you can have a chance to tune in. Stay tuned for After the Hour with Vegas with Randolph. You've been listening to Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody wants an atom bomb. Put your weapon in a holster and strap it on. Don't slap, let it just move along. And everybody wants an atom bomb. Everybody.
Vegas with Randolph on tonight, everybody. John did we get Eric?
Yes, it's Eric. Hello.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
Hello.
And we'd like to introduce our Teacher of the Year, Amy Swihart, and, of course, the Honorable Distinguished Dr. Henry Day, who's with us for the special After the Hour. What a great – that's Money in the Bank, that song, guys.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Wait. Does Amy like it?
I do like it. But I got to tell you, do you want to know my favorites? Because I've been listening. You want to know? You really want to know?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm a little bit dorky. I mean, I like Marissa is one of my favorite songs that you do. I like Snow Day. That's one of my favorite songs that you do.
Mm-hmm.
Empathy, I like. And Silly Me, I like Sippy Cup.
Sippy Cup.
I do.
Bonus track.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I know that this album, Rings Around the Sun, is your newest one, and it's one of three, right?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So I was listening to some of your older stuff, too, because I'm new to this music, but, I liked them all. I think it's funny. The Sippy Cup song, though, I really liked it mainly because I'm a mom. I don't have any kids drinking out of Sippy Cups anymore, but they're probably drinking out of, like, booze cups by now. But I hope not. But I remember the whole Sippy Cup thing, so it kind of took me back years ago. And it reminded me actually a little bit of the Wiggles. Did you guys remember the Wiggles?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you just made him angry.
No,
the Wiggles are great.
For kids, I'm telling you what, the kids in my classroom, they love the Wiggles. Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. So, yeah.
Well,
anyway,
now you'll have to play them Sippy Cup song.
I know. Yeah. It just kind of was a little bit sentimental, and it made me think back to that. But, I love Marissa Tomei. So when I saw that, I thought that was really cool. Wild Hogs, great, great movie. And Untamed Heart was another favorite. So I did like that one really. I like them all, but I had to pick my favorites.
That song got written after watching Wild Hogs.
Yeah, and isn't she hot? I mean, geez.
Well, we wrote a song about it, so that tells you where we're coming from.
Yeah, you think she's hot, yeah. Well, I want to tell you something. I look just like her.
And guess what? You're hot.
Yes! Well, I kind of like made you say that one, so you really had no choices there. But, yeah, so, I mean, I do. I like it. It's very upbeat, and it's fun. It's fun music. And, I watched the Snow Day video, and, of course, we had our first snow here not too long ago. And this made me think back to being a kid, It's kind of like the old-fashioned pictures, and I liked it. So
Eric and I grew up in Illinois in the middle of the state. So we're used to big, heavy snowstorms that come in and, stop everything. And those are great days when you're a kid, and they're great days when you're an adult. And so we put a song together all around that and tried to capture that feeling of please, please, please snow a whole bunch so he can just stay at home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
You captured,
don't happen very much.
Oh, well, you captured that so well in that song. I have to say I had to play it for my wife. She says, Cheryl, listen to this, because that's, you gathered every emotion that every child feels when they're not going to be school today. Let's hope. Of course, now, when I was in elementary school.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
We never had snow days. They could bury the place. they get to school. And so we'd walk that mile and a half, 2 miles to school through that deep snow.
Right, barefoot, and uphill both ways.
You know what? You went to school with Laura Ingalls Wilder, too, didn't you?
Well, you put it
that way.
And
Little House on the Prairie.
Yes. And our studio producer and technical engineer, Billy Willard, was so amazed because he's in Virginia right now. So him and his wife, you've got two new fans that are going to be coming to somewhere. You got a gig coming up soon?
Yeah, we do, Larry. Actually, our release party for this album is coming up. We're up in New York this weekend playing our release party up there, and then our Virginia, D.C. area release party is December 2nd.
Wow.
So if he's around here, there's a really nice club called Jam and Java. It's kind of an intimate place, but nice stage, nice lights. And, yeah, I'd love to have him come out. Come see us.
Well, did you write that down, Billy?
Billy. Lucky Billy.
Jam and Java. Which city is that in?
That's in Vienna, Virginia.
I know where it's at. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Right up the road. Right up the road from out in New York. 15 minutes.
Oh, you got no excuse, man. You gotta come.
Yeah, I'm right here in Manassas. Doesn't take me long to get there.
Oh, excellent.
Oh,
my
Billy.
Gosh. No, jeez. I'm mad.
Come to Warsaw, Indiana, would you?
Well, where is there to play in Warsaw, Indiana? The wagon wheel? Of course, there's a
my
lot
house.
Of things. Your house.
My house. Sir, I'll clear the living room.
Yeah.
In the summertime, you can play out by the pool, and I will be appropriately dressed too. Of course, I look like Marissa, so it doesn't matter.
You can wear anything; it'll look good.
That's right. Yeah. No. Yeah. Those were my favorites that I had been listening to, and but I like I do like them all. They all sort of make you think, and they remind you of things, you know, and they're fun. They're very fun songs that you have. So, anyway,
well,
that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you that song that we just played, guys, that song could put you on the map because I don't know what it is about it. Maybe it's the lyric. I don't.
I think any song with the word bomb in it's going to do well.
And bikini.
Bomb.
Maybe.
Oh my!
Maybe so, but yeah, that's and the whole album is just it's magnificently packaged. I'll be sure and send Mrs. Swihart my copy of the album.
Yeah.
So she
yeah, we had our friend Nancy Hardy, who's a graphic artist, work up you know all the artwork that you see on that CD, and Eric and I like to you know make a whole package when we get the songs out there and. Nancy just did a great job.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's just extraordinary. The whole album is, and I had an opportunity to get it a couple weeks ago, I guess, and I've listened to it. I didn't get a chance to listen to it right away. I'm mad that I hadn't popped it right into the CD player instantly after I acquired it. But it's hot. I'm telling you, you guys are. I think something special is going to happen.
Thanks.
Oh, thank you very much.
But you guys have been at it since high school, haven't you? And that was like, what, 2 years ago?
3 or 4 years ago, yeah.
Oh, 3 or 4. That makes me really old then.
John and I have been at it. We've been writing songs together for since high school. That is true. And it's been a while. And so I think that's part of our story is that we've been doing it so long. You haven't heard the first, you know, 130 songs that we wrote to get to where we are now. But
yeah.
You know, it's very instinctive, and we have a way of, you know, trading ideas back and forth and being brutally honest with each other that, you know, really allows us to just kind of cut through, you know, the niceties and just really make the songs better. And so we do that for each other. We bounce a lot of things off, and I think
and you know,
we work hard.
Brutal honesty is overrated.
Luckily, we've known each other a long time.
About that.
Well, there's a lot of bands that don't stay together that long, so my goodness, you got that's extraordinary.
Well, you know, the Vegas with Randolph quintet, you know, we're friends first and bandmates second,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's why, you know, we get past all that stuff that, you know, kind of happens in some bands.
Yeah.
I mean, I follow a lot of local bands in our area because I love live music. And, boy, I tell you, and I know a lot of those people, and the members come and go, you know. It's finding that right combination is really hard sometimes. So you guys got lucky. So that's really neat.
It's a wonderful sound. Let's hear a little bit more of it. Here's another cut from their brand-new album. What's the name of that CD, Miss Swihart?
Oh, it is Rings Around the Sun, Mr. Batson.
Oh, well, thank you. You're listening to Vegas with Randolph on Blog Talk Radio after the hour.
Thank you, Mr. Copernicus. It all started out with you. Dogma surrendered when you gave us on her duty to. Thank you, Mr. Darwin, for explaining such a line.
On my desk, except it's got so much stuff on it.
those drums move that song right along, don't they?
Oh, I'm telling you, and they're so clean. I was talking about bands one night. I think it was with Chasm Sultan, who played with Utopia and Todd Rundgren. I said, "Do you ever run into a drummer that you just want to throw his cymbals away?" And he said, "Yeah." So, yeah, so it was like your who plays drums for Vegas?
Our drummer is a guy named Andy Hamburger, and he's just a phenomenal guy. We're really, he's just on this, just recently we've been playing with him, you know, since his latest album, and it's been a fantastic experience.
Well,
he should have called in, too.
Yeah, we talked to him about it, actually. We'll let him know that that you missed him.
You tell him, yes, I missed him, and I feel like I was ripped off, because there's five of you, and we're only talking to two of you.
How many can this line handle?
Oh,
100.
Oh, next time we'll remedy that.
We will do that, absolutely.
The more men, the merrier.
Well,
just pretend I'm Marissa. My name is Marissa.
Larry, are you okay?
Not doing well at all.
It's dangerous in there with Amy if it's just you.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, Dr. Day, he's just he's right
there.
Right.
You go.
Dr. Day just sits and stares.
Did he die? Dr. Day, are you still there?
No, he's no longer with us. He's been mesmerized by the music.
Well, there we go. Yep.
Well, I hear a lot of influences. Who are your favorite musicians? You want to be rock and roll guys.
You know, we're fans of a lot of different kinds of music and, you know, from a lot of different eras. So it's always a hard question to answer. But, certainly the music of the 60s was a big influence on us. You know, bands like the Beatles and the Who and, a lot of just melodic rock that's happened through the 60s and the 70s from, you know, the Raspberries and softer rock like America and then a lot of the 90s stuff and... bands of today, certainly bands like Fountains of Wayne and Bowling for Soup have been recent influences. I don't know. What am I forgetting, John?
Well, you know, we did grow up in Illinois, so we like Cheap Trick and REO Speedwagon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all kinds of cool bands that came out of Illinois. And, you know, you liked you played Everybody Wants an Atom Bomb earlier, and we kind of tried to pattern that a little bit off of the sound of Joan Jett, just a little bit.
Well, yes, absolutely.
Deliberate on our part.
Absolutely.
Which we don't normally do stuff quite like that, but it was really fun to make those big drums.
Big hand claps. And, yeah.
That's an awesome song. And I hear a little influence, and I may be completely out the window with this, but I hear a little with the humor of your lyrics, Bare Naked Ladies.
You know what? I was thinking that same exact thing, Larry.
You were.
Yes, I was.
Yeah,
I like
well, you know, we've definitely been appreciating, bands with a sense of humor and that, you know, music that makes you smile. And, you know, these days it seems like there's enough out there in the world that can drag you down. And, you know, putting in some music that you know, brings you up a little bit is something that we felt like is worth contributing to the world. So we're making a little bit of an effort to have more fun in all the music, and hopefully that's been coming through.
Yeah, because that's one of the things about Bare Naked Ladies that I, you know, like their song Shopping and those kind of things, they're just fun. They're just kind of, if I had $1 million, you know, they're just fun. They're just really
right.
Fun songs.
Yeah.
So, and you said Joan Jett, you made me think of, Joan Jett, now you're taking me all back to... But you know what? I sing with my first graders all the time, and I sing. I actually took the I Love Rock and Roll and turned it into We Love Word Ball Words, and I sing it with my class. I changed the lyrics. But, yeah, so now I'm going to have to change the lyrics to one of your songs and make it into probably a song about vowels or consonants.
Well, they'd probably that would be the ultimate compliment.
It would. Yeah, you got to record that and send it to us so we can check it out.
No, you don't want to hear that.
Yeah, we'll play it on the air.
We are still waiting for someone to cover our music, so that might be the first time.
You know, if you check my Facebook page, I think there's a couple of dorky videos of me singing on there because my son dared me to sing at the McDonald's drive-thru once. And, you know, I really don't care. I'm old enough. People can take it or leave it. And I did sing, and it ended up all over the place. But
you know, Amy, Vegas with Randolph produces its own music. Maybe we should produce it.
Yeah.
No.
I think I should come visit you and sing something with you.
There you
I
go.
I can play a mean cowbell, too, just so you know.
And your entire class could sing, too.
I don't want them. They're booger players. We'll leave them here. No. You know what? Here's the thing about Mrs. Swihart. She likes to get away and be with grown-ups once in a while.
Well, there you go. And what more appropriate, better example would there be than Vegas with Randolph? Fine young men.
Hey, so can you tell me, I want to know, how did you come up with your name?
Take it, Eric.
Okay, all right. So I think John mentioned that him and I go back, we grew up together in from Illinois.
Uh-huh.
And when we were in high school, we had a group of friends that we hung out with a lot, and actually some of us went out to college with them together. And so we're out of college now, actually, and we're kind of adults trying to make it in the world. But in any case, we go back to Illinois probably once a year, and we still see some of those people. We're still friends. One of those guys is a guy named John Randolph. And John Randolph is a real, real fun-loving guy, very colorful. But it's somehow he's stayed pretty much in the small town we grew up in Illinois. He doesn't get out all that much. And so one time when we were all together and maybe, you know, having a beer or two and talking, we came across this idea that we all, you know, we got to get out of central Illinois together. We got to go on a big trip. And there was this plan of going to Vegas. So knowing Randolph and, you know, how he tends to get, we knew it was going to be this kind of crazy time. And it was just about the time we were finishing up our first album and searching for a band name. And just about that time we had the trip planned, and it fell apart. And it was kind of disappointing, but at the same time it was sort of a beautiful thing because it kind of left us with this great idea of what this great misadventure might have been had it have happened. So So it's the kind of misadventure that never was, and it became our band name.
And it could still happen, right?
That's my plan, Amy.
What?
I want to make it happen and take a big picture.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just a dream. Do it.
Yeah, it's a reality show in the making. Vegas with Randolph.
Yeah, a reality show about, like, you know, making music at night and working and playing, and that'd be fun.
Absolutely.
So obviously, you know, you do the music on the side then, so you all work like other jobs, right?
We do have day jobs, so that makes it interesting, you know. You got to really, really love music and love doing this to put in the time it does and to work too. And, you know, I think a lot of artists you'll find these days, the music industry is taking a hit. People aren't quite buying CDs like they used to, and a lot of people are working. But there's a lot of advantages to these times, too, you know, with the Internet and just the way, you know, we can meet people like you, which, you know, 5 years, 5-10 years ago, it probably never would have happened. So, you know, it's great, and it's really nice to be able to share our music like this.
Well, that's
always
been so outstanding with the social network. This is how we discovered you guys and realized that we just had to have you on the program because, man, what a fantastic sound. New CD's just awesome. How did they get it? Tell everybody.
Our CD is up most of the places you buy music on the web, you know, Amazon.com and iTunes. You can go to our website, which is VegasWithRandolph.com, as you might expect it is, and also, it's up on Bandcamp. We have our main site is at Bandcamp, and we have several packages you can buy up there, too. And we have, you know, some stickers we throw in if you buy it through
T-shirt.
There.
T-shirt. So. I saw T-shirt.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I've been snooping, because, like, once I become a fan, I start to snoop everywhere. So I was snooping.
I'll tell you what was popular, our Above the Blue T-shirts. Those were popular. People wear those. They were, I mean, Eric, you know, kind of picked out the color, and, you know, we put the logo from the album cover on there, and they're popular.
Yeah.
We sold them all out.
Wow.
Oh,
geez. We'll tell you how the T-shirts from Rings Around the Sun do.
Now,
it'll be hard to do as well as
sold out too, actually, yeah. Yeah, people like the shirts, but they like the CDs more, which is good because
yeah.
that's where we put our time in. But
well, yeah, and let's face it, that's where the dollar is made. Is on
okay,
the CDs.
So you told us who plays drums. That's Andy, right?
Right.
It's Andy, and then so who does most of the singing? Is it one of you? Just one of you?
We both sing, actually. John and I, and what it is, we both sing, we both write, and most of the songs are written by John and I collaboratively. But generally there's one of us who comes up with the first germ of the song, and then we get together and collaborate. And so it usually turns out that the person who kind of came up with the initial idea is the one who lead sings that song, and then generally the other person does harmony. So It's kind of similar to sort of how Lennon and McCartney and other bands have done it, trading the vocals. But you come see us live, and you'll see, you know, it's pretty much 50-50 as far as who takes the vocals.
Yeah, keep thinking, though, Lennon-McCartney, keep thinking that.
I was thinking that before he said that.
Thanks, thanks, Larry, that's awesome.
And then you're going to end up in Vegas, and, you know, it's going to be... You won't even remember the little people like us anymore.
Oh, we want you there. You know, I think we need to shoot one of our next videos in Vegas. And of course, Randolph is going to have to star in it, but you guys should be in it, too.
Yep.
Well, we would love
to. So much
to.
Fun.
Love to book the flight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's great.
I've never been to Vegas. I need to go to Vegas.
Myself as well. How about you, Dr. Day? Have you ever went
yes,
to this?
Yes, I've been to Vegas. I have a good friend that lives out there who's an artist.
Oh,
have you ever been to Vegas with Randolph, Dr. Dave?
No, I haven't. But
neither have I.
That's hard to get him out of the house. He doesn't want to leave the house.
Where is he? We need to talk to him.
We will have to have him call in next time, too.
You know what? We should do another interview with Randolph.
That's perfect.
Vegas with Randolph with Randolph.
Yeah.
Oh, we could
Vegas,
do that.
Vegas with Randolph. In Vegas.
With Randolph.
Randolph.
That's right,
yeah.
With Randolph. That's
gosh, they even harmonize when they talk. Did you hear
yeah,
that?
They do.
Well, guys, it was great to have you on the program. I hope you had a good time.
Oh, very much.
It's a pleasure.
And thanks, Larry, for asking us again. You know, we talked to you a couple years ago, and it's just great to be back. We always enjoy it.
Well, we're going to have to do this more often because I'm dying to see you guys live. It's got to be just amazing. It's just hear those songs live. It has to be pretty incredible. So maybe a live CD down the road sometime, huh?
Eric was just talking about that tonight.
Double live CD with Vegas and Randolph.
Double, double live.
Yeah.
How about
Slow down, Larry.
Christmas CD too.
Oh yeah, on a Christmas CD. That's
yeah.
Good. That's good. Or a Christmas song, and we'll play it on the show next month.
So, you know, we do have a Christmas song on the Above the Blue album, Lagavulin for Christmas. Did you catch that one, Amy?
Oh
I saw it, but I didn't listen, but I saw it there.
It's not a traditional Christmas song, per se.
No.
Uh-oh.
But it does have a lot of spirit, if you will. Holiday spirit.
Will we have to worry about lightning strikes if we play that?
No,
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, my. Well, it's been a pleasure. Great CD. Guys, pleasure to have you on the show. Amy, you've met
yes.
once again some of your musical heroes again.
I know. That's great. And Larry, I'm going to keep you on your toes. You're going to schedule this one for... A couple months from now, got it?
Yeah, I got it. We'll hopefully get Randolph on as well
that's
as the other
right.
guys in the band.
I'm looking to it.
Yeah, great show, Dr. Day.
As
yeah,
always.
Happy Thanksgiving, Vegas with Randolph.
Oh, yeah.
It's yeah,
great to have the boys back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks,
I tell you what, we're not done with him yet. We want to thank Billy Willard for keeping us under control. That's one heck of a job, if you ask me.
Oh. Not because of me.
here's another cut from their brand new CD. And what's that called again, Amy Swihart?
You can't remember. rings around the sun, Mr. Batson.
I know it. It's radio, man. You toss it around. You know what I'm saying?
You just love to hear my voice. I know it.
Yeah, that's right. You've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Here's Vegas with Randolph, everybody.
Thank you, John and Eric.
Thank you.
Right.
Good night.
Thank
Good
you,
night.
Guys. Take care.
Tell the world about it, and I will. Now I got to share the way you're making me feel.